There's a commercial that I always thought it was pretty funny. They played for a long, long time. It was this arrogant, big, tall actor, you probably know who he is. He's walking through the airport, talking about how he just always gets his way. You know, this and that and that. Walks through all the terminal, goes into a car rental place, and just arrogantly showing people off and then saying, I can choose any car I want. You remember that one? And there is an auto rental car, you know, company that you can do that. I have done that before. That's what we want, you know? We want to choose any car we want. We want to choose any lifestyle we want. We want to have the liberty and freedom to do anything we want. That's a big deal. That's a big deal in human experiences, certainly for Americans. If you ask what is the greatest characteristic of our nation, it will be freedom. Freedom to thrive. Freedom to do what we want. Freedom to succeed. Well, that's the heart of man, I guess. Inside us, we want to be free. But it's not just our country, it's just not our world. It's been like this for 2,000 years, ever since the gospel came about, you know. Freedom is really important. Why? Because the gospel brings freedom, a whole lot more than choosing a car at the airport. But freedom is being released and delivered from what? From bondage, from prison, from chains. And that's what the gospel is about. The gospel gives us freedom far beyond just an ability to choose something. We are free from all the terrible things that sin and its consequences bring to mankind. So freedom is important. Now, we're going to start a series and a study on Galatians. Galatians is the book about freedom, in case you don't know. I hope that you can spend some time reading it. It's a very quick read, so you can read it multiple times during these weeks that we'll be studying it. But I want to bring those thoughts to you. First, I want to introduce it a little bit. Galatians is a letter that was written by Paul, something that it was his first letter, to churches that he ministered to. These are churches in what is understood to be Turkey today, in that area. And if you don't know who the Galatians were, these are Gentile believers. They were the originator, well, they will be called the Gauls if you have done history. And you understand that they were the kind of the savage tribes in Europe, and they used to just harass the Roman Empire in the early days of the Roman Empire. They would attack Rome and just try to do everything to destroy the empire. They failed, of course. Then they moved on to Greece and that area. And then finally, they settled into that part of Galatia, what we call Turkey. And they settled there. They became Roman citizens, in a sense, or at least the subjects to Rome. And they became very faithful to the empire. And then Paul goes there. In his first missionary journey, he goes throughout. And he gets to those places like Derbe and so forth, these cities, and begins to plant churches there. And so the church in Galatia began to grow. Afterward, the second missionary journey, Paul went back again, and he did the same thing and continued to minister there. In fact, he loved these people, these Christians there, enough that if you read through the book of Acts, you will find that there was one particular moment. Most theologians believe that the Apostle Paul was actually in Galatia. He was actually killed. They stoned him. You remember that? And when they stone you, they usually stone you to death. And so after he's seemed like he was dead, they threw him in a pile heap or wherever they do it, and then God raised him from the dead. So many people believe that that was an experience that was very personal, very painful to Paul. So these churches there were precious to him. Now what happened? As they went there, as the gospel went there, they usually, in the beginning, the Jewish people followed Paul wherever he went. In fact, some of the Jewish folks were actually believers, but they believed something different than the pure gospel. They believed that in order for you to be saved, okay, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to do all those things that we believe in even today, right? But you have to do something else. You have to become a Jewish person too. So in other words, you need to be circumcised, which is what Jewish people do, and a whole bunch of other things that they have to do. So not only do you have the gospel message, but you also have to do these things. Now let me encourage you to understand that the gospel message does not need to be added upon, and it cannot be subtracted. But that's what they were doing. And so the Apostle Paul, finding this out, in fact, was rather angry. And so he wrote this letter to the leaders, to the Christians in the province of Galatia. So today, I want to share with you some thoughts. That's very important. We're just going to start it this week. We'll continue. But it deals with the issue of freedom. Three thoughts here that the Apostle Paul told them that was important. First of all, the gospel is a spiritual gift. See, we have a problem as human beings. One of the things we love to do is we take everything and we kind of ruin it, you know? We take something and we just try to make it better and it just gets ruined. There was a story about this great Chinese hunter. Some of you remember that, or you heard it from your history or your parents. He had this great bow, you know? This bow can just shoot that arrow such a velocity and distance, and he was just great. But you know, because he was such a famous hunter, eventually the people in the town said, you know what, you're a great hunter, let us do something for you. Let us just make your bow look great so that it can be that great bow, but you know, it doesn't look like a piece of junk, right? So they took his bow, they started carving on it and on, you know the story. If you don't, that's what they did. And then the next time he pulled the bow, you know what happened? Boom, it snapped. It broke because they damaged it. It could not do that anymore. That's what we do to things. You know, we as human beings, we love to do that with spiritual things. But we need to understand something about the gospel. The life that God has given to us, the reason why we are here worshiping the Lord, and that is, it is a spiritual gift. In verse 3, it says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important. Grace, the word grace, charis, Greek word, means unmerited favor. It is something that we didn't earn, we didn't deserve it, we didn't work for it, we cannot work for it. It is a free gift. It is a gift from God. It is a spiritual gift, a gift that all we can do is to accept it or not accept it. That's all we can do. But you know, just like mankind, we just like to make it better, you know? It can't be that simple. We begin to embellish it with all kinds of things. And so the spiritual gift from heaven, a spiritual gift that is given, stated the grace of God, which brings to us peace in our lives to God, with God. We have to add more things to it. So people have to do things for it. Jewish people there, you know, say, you have to become a Jew. But I'm not a Jew. Well, you have to become a Jew. Why can't I be a Christian? Well, you can be. You just got to become a Jew first. You know, he said, we don't do that here. We're Baptists. You really? You got to be a Baptist. No, we don't say that. But you kind of have to act like us, you know? You have to do things like us. You got to become like us, you know? You don't have to be a Baptist in name, but you have to be a Baptist in life. And you take that to a lot of other things. There's other churches that you might have gone to. If you've never gone to other churches, you'll find other churches have different, you know, characteristics. Sometimes it's as blatant as how you are dressed. Are you dressed in a tie? I happen not to be today, but I used to be. Right? Are you dressed in a dress? I already told you stories in churches all around the world that if a lady is not dressed in a dress, she's not allowed to come into church. Or you can, that's just blatant out there. But there's other things, you know. What kind of lifestyle are you living? You know, if you're this way, I'm not sure we want to let you through the doors. I remember reading a story a long, long time ago. It was interesting. And it's true. It was a church, had a Sunday school class. And they were doing things about, you know, winning people to the Lord, ministering to people, and so forth. And one day, this lady came in. And she just looked terrible. You know, What I mean by terrible is she's just dressed really risque, all kinds of makeup on that's just overboard, you know, over the top. And it just came in and walking like a person you kind of want to avoid, you know? A person that's close to a lady of the night or something like that. So she came into this classroom, Sunday school classroom, and you know, a few people went up to her, but most people avoided her. And I thought it was interesting. When the teacher got up to teach and the classroom sat down and she sat down with them, and he said, well, I want to introduce somebody to you, a friend of mine. And he asked the lady to stand up. I asked her to come and I asked her to do me a favor. I asked her to dress up like this because I wanted reactions, how you behave, how we as God's people would treat someone that looks unacceptable. You see, we have this idea, you know, that the gospel is for someone who is perfect. You've done this, you've done that, you've done this, you know, you've never been divorced, you never had problems with your children, you know, you have graduated, you've gotten these degrees, you've been successful and all that, you've never done anything wrong. Now, that is your spiritual gift. No, that's not a gift. You had to earn that thing. That's not the word of God. It's very clear here. It is the grace of God. Now, the second thing we find here, similar to it, but it's important here, and that is there is a spiritual origin. It goes on, and it describes it, and I want to tell you something. This is really important for us to keep in mind. When we share the gospel with people, when we talk about it, we always have to keep this in mind. Paul says, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, verse 1, who raised him from the dead. And then it goes on in verse 4, it says, who rescued us from the present evil age on the cross of Calvary. You need to understand, the gospel message is the message of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, who died and paid for the sins, your sins, my sins. And God raised him from the dead. This is a spiritual origin. That's where it comes from. It's not from other things. You know, it's not the five things you have to do if you're a Muslim. It's not the enlightened path you have to take if you're a Buddhist. You know, there's a lot of things that we want to define as the spiritual, you know, origin that is not spiritual. This is it right here. It comes from this. Now, why is Paul emphasizing this so much? Well, because there's all these people telling them, you know, in order for you to have this experience, you have to become a Jew. But I'm a Gaul. I'm a Galatian. I'm a Gentile. Oh, that's okay, but you have to become a Jew. And the origin is not. Nothing like it at all. It is Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, dying for your sins, and taking you out of the evil age, being set free, and then being resurrected again by God the Father. Keep that in mind. Sometimes we as Christians, sometimes we in the church, we lose track of that. And church becomes just a system, you know, man's system, CBC system. This is what we do. You know, we have to go through this. And before you become a member, before you do this, before you can serve, on and on. All these kind of things we have. And sometimes we just place our system. Sometimes it's our cultural system. Sometimes it's our personal system. Onto a situation that is not. It should not be. It is a spiritual origin. The gospel message. The love of Jesus Christ, it is from God. It is through Jesus Christ. Now, the rest of the chapter, the rest of the book really deals with the last part, and I want to touch on that just a little bit today. And that is the spiritual process. See, there's two major categories in Galatians that Paul is dealing with. Freedom, as you get saved, right? If you're in a cage, you're locked up in chains, and you deliver from that, you're free. You're set free. The gospel does that. But the second thing, and that a lot of Christians have a struggle with, is that freedom as well, you need to enjoy that. You need to experience that freedom. Sometimes Christians think, you know, now that I am a Christian, life's going to be all this, you know, shackles. No, we're actually free to enjoy all that God has made us to be, all that he wants us to be. And we have a struggle with that because we don't understand that the freedom that God gives to us, it is spiritual. It is a spiritual process in which we can enjoy it. We can live it out. Now, I want to bring you back to the first part of the scripture, the verse, when Paul begins this. This is important. He says, Paul, an apostle sent not by men, from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, why did he say that? I don't know if you understand what an apostle is. In the book of Ephesians, it says, you know, God has given some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. So there's this title, this spiritual giftedness of apostle. But back in those days, these are the original apostles. If you're an apostle, you would have to have met Jesus, had a personal relationship with Jesus, and not only that, verified by the community. And that's why there was these original 12 apostles, 11 disciples, and then Paul. Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You remember that. Paul wanted to say that to these people who already knew that. But he wanted to say it to them one more time and wants to say it this way. He says, I am not an apostle because some men appointed me. And not by one man. He said, Paul, you are now an apostle. No. He says, I am an apostle by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, why am I bringing that up to you? I want you to understand that the Christian life, the church life, and the ministry life, and the things that you and I do in church is how God has appointed us. It is not something we just strive for. It is not a political thing. Let me get enough votes for it. It is not the kind of thing, if I work hard enough, I get that. No. This is something that God gives to each one of us. And when we live this out, I want to tell you what happens. You live out in freedom to serve God. And serve God very successfully, wherever you are. One of the things I've told you before is how so many pastors drop out. When I was in the seminary and I mentored a bunch of young seminarians, one of the focus I always had for them was that it has to be a calling that God has given to you. It can't be because you couldn't get into other schools or you're bored with other subjects. It has to be a calling that God has given to you, because I guarantee you, and we talked about this again and again and again, the first year in ministry, you are going to go through what we call the crucibles of ministry. You know what a crucible is? It's, you know, you put the drugs in a little thing, they crush it, the pharmacist, right? That's a crucible. You will go through that, and you will go through it many more times. So it better be a ministry, a calling that God has given to you, or else you will leave the ministry as quick as possible. And sure enough, we know that 50% of seminarians within 5 years graduating from seminary will quit the ministry because it is hard. But you know what? If it is a spiritual process that God has called you to be a pastor, you're going to stay a pastor because it has come from God, not from man. It doesn't matter if you get fired from things. It doesn't matter if people criticize you left and right. It doesn't matter. You stay with it because it is a spiritual process of ministry. And I want to relate that not just to pastors, but to every one of you. If you are a deacon, it isn't because you got the 75%. It is because God has called you to be a deacon in the church. If you're a Sunday school teacher, it isn't because, you know, there's no one else to do the job. It is because God has called you to minister to those teenagers. If you're an usher, a greeter, people like that, if you go visit the sick, if you do those things, it is God who has called you to that. It isn't because you've done such a nice job with something, or it isn't because you gain so much favor with the pastors or the leaders of the church. It is a spiritual process. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted to tell the Galatians. He says, I am an apostle coming at you. I'm going to say things to you. You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I don't care, because I don't care about the polls like politicians do. You see that? When we can minister this way, when we can live out this kind of life, and we're going to experience a spiritual process, you know what happens? We have freedom. We have freedom to thrive. We have freedom to do the things we want to do and need to do by God's grace. And a church will thrive. How many churches today are going through this process? Let me tell you. You can read up on it. I constantly keep track of that. We're just afraid of everything. They're afraid of saying what they are, who they are, what they believe, and so on, because it's not politically correct. And there are people there, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. I remember one time in our old church, there was a person that needed disciplining, and it isn't like we did a lot of it, but we needed disciplining this person. Went up, stood behind the pulpit, and said, this person is excommunicated from our body because of what she has done. Oh, I got a letter real quick from our leadership. You can't do that now, Dan. You can't do that. You can't do those kind of things. We get sued left and right. That's right. We may. Right is still right. The gospel is still the gospel. The Bible is still the Bible. The Word of God is still the Word of God. It is a spiritual process of what we need to do. So I want to encourage you guys to understand, if God has called you to ministry, don't give it up. Don't be afraid of it. God's grace is sufficient, not only to save you and deliver you from sin, but also to enable you to enjoy this freedom that you have in Christ. I want to tell you about man. Well, he just celebrated his 80th birthday. I know in Houston, this is young. Here's a man that experienced the grace of God in his life, was saved. And then the man that believed in the power of the Spirit of God to do that which no man can do. He was a professor of mine, a missionary. He's living right now in Papua, New Guinea, 80 years old. When he was about, I guess, 45, it was about 35 years ago, he came back to the States, finished his PhD, and taught in our seminary. What a joy to listen to him and to be mentored under him. To know that this is a man that went to Irian Jaya back in those days, you know, it was pretty dangerous, you know, cannibalism and stuff like that, translated the Bible into one of the languages, and they didn't even have written languages. They had to create the written language first and then translate the Bible into it. Led so many people to the Lord, planted churches, taught a generation, a new generation of missionaries and pastors, and went back, still there, celebrating his 80th birthday just a couple months ago. John Ellenberger, a man of God. You know what? He's just one of many. And I believe that every single one of us here can be just like that. If we understood that the life that God has given us is to be free from sin, experience eternal eternity in heaven, but also to live out a free life, a process in which God can and will do great things in us. As we go on with Galatians, I hope that you can study it with me and see what wonders it is to live out that great Christian life. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the life that you've given to us, a free life, a life that allows us to just thrive. Lord, would you help us to stay free in you, in Jesus' name.